Iconic British singer and songwriter Morrissey has just released his first new album in 5 years, and it's out on Harvest Records, a label that was itself iconic in the 1970s. It was the home of Pink Floyd, among others. Now, after languishing for decades, Harvest has been revived. But in this age of single-song downloads and online music streaming, can a record label mean as much to its fans? Christopher Worth has the story from London.
With so much music available online, how do you decide what to even check out, never mind buy? Mark Rye, who worked for Harvest Records in the 1970s, says back then there was an easy answer. That little sticker in the middle of a vinyl record known as the label.
At that time, it was very much an identifier for the kind of music. So I would buy virtually everything that was released on Island Records. And I would buy virtually everything that was released on Harvest because it defined a kind of music that you would like. So certainly you would check it out.
Harvest Records began as a small subset of EMI, the giant British recording company, but its identity was that of an underground label created by EMI to tap into what was then the cool new music scene in Britain known as progressive rock.
God, what is progressive rock?
Brian Southall was a press officer at EMI in the 1970s. He says think long guitar solos, odd rhythms, and obscure lyrics.
The bands that were signed to Harvest always wanted to push the envelope. And the guys who worked in Harvest wanted to sign bands which were not traditional pop rock bands. They all had a twist to them.
Like Pete Brown and his Battered Ornaments. Or Soft Machine co-founder Kevin Ayers.
She climbs up the stairs. By the light of a candle, then the door with no handle is closing behind her again.
Or the Scottish songwriter and poet Ivor Cutler.
One day, my brother took offence. Jumping onto the kitchen bed, he opened the cupboard above, drew himself up, and shut the door.
It was basically strange Scottish poetry, and it was wonderful. No one questioned the fact that they wanted to sign him, and no one questioned the concern that it possibly didn't sell. What it was about was carrying on those traditions of mad English music.
That freedom to experiment was even evident in the way the label literally set within big corporate EMI, says Mark Rye.
The Harvest office was just this dark corner as far away from everybody else as you could get. It had cushions on the floor rather than desks and chairs. It was very much a distinct part of EMI.
Then came Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon in 1973.
Breathe, breathe in the air. Don't be afraid to care.
By then, Harvest had released Deep Purple's second album and Pink Floyd's double LP opus, Amalgama. But with Dark Side of the Moon, the label went from a dark corner at EMI to a major player in both Britain and the United States. The album remains one of the biggest selling records of all time.
Dark Side surprised everybody.
But Rye says Harvest disappeared precisely because it lost that identity for mad underground English music. By the 1980s, it seems the label tried to be everything to everybody. It released Iron Maiden.
Run to the hills.
And Duran Duran. Harvest was eventually tossed into the dustbin of rock and roll history. And so was this idea that labels could act as curators of our musical tastes, says Jeremy Silver of Symmetric, a company that advises the music industry. And Silver says that's a loss.
In this day and age when we have so much music being produced and so many new bands, the idea of having a label that represents a genre or a spirit or an ethos seems to me to be a very intelligent way of bringing new audiences to bands they might not otherwise know.
There are a handful of labels, like Nonesuch and ECM, that try to conjure an ethos. Sony recently revived the storied OK label, a pioneer in early 20th century African-American music, with mixed results. Now Capitol Records has resurrected Harvest, not in London, but in Los Angeles. And Capitol's British-born CEO, Steve Barnett, says fans should not expect that old Harvest Sound.
We have a lot of history and we're very respectful of that history, but it doesn't burden us in terms of what we want to do for the future.
As a result, Harvest's present day lineup includes a star like Morrissey.
World peace is none of your business.
Along with the less well-known Niall Gavin, a.k.a. Only Real, a 20-something one-man band from West London.
Lost youth in the soft roof Cadillac, tossed in the boot and the cops through, having that out with the juice, out juice the best, and the daddy bounced out just flew the nest.
Now, if this sampling doesn't sound like an identity, Barnett says it will.
Can, in this modern day and age, a label stand for something? You can't actually say yes to that now, but I can guarantee if you come back in 2 years, you'll agree with me. You're right, Steve, Harvest stands for something.
Although exactly what it will stand for is something Harvest may still be trying to figure out. For NPR News, I'm Christopher Wirth in London.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.